The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all as we gather for worship here at the First Presbyterian Church for Christ in the heart of Knoxville. We have begun the season of Lent with Ash Wednesday this past Wednesday night, and our service order for Lent will mark that. Lent is a season of minimal things, and so we will not be saying Gloria or Hallelujah or Praise the Lord. Lent is a season where we back off from cheap grace because forgiveness does not come cheap or come easily. And so even the assurance of pardon will be something that we internalize but will not be proclaimed. And finally, we will not be sharing the peace. The peace is the peace of Christ. And the words of the peace are the words of Christ's resurrection. When he comes into the room with his disciples, he says, "Peace be with you." And so we will share the peace again on Easter. So we mark our service, this Lenten preparation time, by minimizing part of our service to fuller celebrate our Easter service. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship with the introit, and we are led this morning by the Covenant Choir.
Thank you.
Join me in the call to worship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
Welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Knoxville. We're delighted to have you listening and worshiping with us this morning. First Presbyterian is Knoxville's oldest church, founded in 1792 by James White, who was also the founder of Knoxville. But our church is not just some historic artifact. We are a living congregation, serving in ministries unique to Knoxville's downtown area, as well as throughout the world. Each week, we gather on Sundays for worship and church school classes. On Sunday mornings, our chapel service begins at 8:45, and our sanctuary service begins at 11. Church school classes for children, youth, and adults meet at 9:45. These groups are always looking for new people who bring unique viewpoints to their studies. You can learn more about First Presbyterian and all our activities by visiting our website, www.fpcknox.org. Once again, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we welcome you to worship at First Presbyterian, for Christ in the heart of Knoxville.
Let us now join together in our opening prayer of confession, follow it with our silent confession, and then join together in the musical response, Jesus, remember me. Let us pray. O God, we confess that we have been more intent on what feels good to us than building right relationships with one another. We have been more eager for a name for ourselves than calling on the name of the Lord. We take your commandments as suggestions to be ignored, and your love as an indulgence that will never call us to account. You have given a godly heritage that we squander at our own peril. Forgive us for our choices that drive a wedge between others and us. Pardon our continual disregard of you and your ways. Point us again toward right relationships with you and one another. Amen. Our first scripture lesson of the morning will be read by Earl Hagler.
Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 91, which you can locate on page 548 of the Old Testament of your pew Bible. We'll be reading verses 1 and 2 and 9 through 16. Assurance of God's protection. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge shall come to your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. He will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God lives forever.
Would the children join me down front for a time mostly for children? Well, good morning. How are you all?
Good.
Good? Yeah. Listen, I have something for each of you that I'm going to give you in a minute, and I hope I have enough copies. I think I do. Tell me what the first season of the church year is. The first one. What is it? Advent. Very good. Advent is followed by. Yeah. The Christmas season is followed by
Epiphany.
Very good.
And what is followed? What follows Epiphany? Does anybody know? Lent. Lent. There are some visual clues in the sanctuary this morning that would remind us that it's Lent. In case you didn't remember, do you know what they might be? Look around, and they're colors. You see a color in here? Purple. You see purple somewhere? Okay, you see purple? What you got? I've got purple here, and there's purple over there. And William has some purple. And the choir, they have some purple on. Miss Sharon, where's Miss Sharon? Yes. Yeah. Anybody else have purple on? Raise your hand. All right. We are a liturgically informed congregation. Now, how long does Lent? Listen, I need you guys to listen to me just a minute. How long does Lent last? Jim, you know?
6 weeks.
Six Sundays. Okay. How long?
40 days.
Now, it's actually 46 days, I think. You subtract the Sundays, and you end up with 40. It's a little complicated, but that's how it works. And what are the kinds of things that we're supposed to do during Lent? You have any ideas? What are we supposed to do or not do during Lent? I got you, didn't I? Well, you have one? You're not supposed to kill. Very good. Didn't do that. Yeah. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stop right there. And I'm going to give you, this is for you parents and grandparents. I have a little booklet here. It is a coloring and activities booklet for children and their families to work on during Lent. And as your children go on to the children's church, they're going to learn about Lent, and you're going to hear a bit more about Lent in the sermon that follows. But it is a season in which we prepare for Holy Week and ultimately for Easter. So let's have a prayer, and then I will pass out these activity books. Dear God, thank you for this day. And how could we already be in Lent? Didn't we just begin Advent? Much less make it through Christmas. Be with our children as they grow, and may we teach them about the disciplines of the church year, about what it means to enact in our lives what we profess with our hearts and our mouths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, Joan, maybe you could help me with this. Can you do this?
Let us pray. Hear our prayers, O God, that you in Christ will walk with us. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. It is the reading for the first Sunday of the season of Lent. It is the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Listen now to the story for today. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The season of Lent began this past Wednesday. We Christians did not come up with the season of Lent when we first began to trust in the God we know in Christ. There's absolutely no reason to look up the word Lent in the Bible. You won't find it there. Lent, this custom of a focused 40 days of prayer, self-denial, preparation, it didn't arise in the church until later when the initial rush, the Christian adrenaline was over. And life was becoming a bit ho-hum. For the early followers of Jesus, when history did not come to its conclusion very quickly after the New Testament era, which Jesus implied in places, and the Apostle Paul seems to have expected in places, when the world continued on, Christians adopted a pacing, a letting down of energy and expectation. And in our own ways, most of us have felt that living on the edge, that energy and enthusiasm diminishing, not able to sustain the pace. Perhaps you know, as I have known, those good intentions, that Bible we were going to read every day is gathering dust on the bookshelf. The regular time of prayer, we're going to do it every day, becomes less regular. Those projects of compassionate service where we're going to make a difference and we're going to do it, they get rescheduled. Commitment to worship and Sunday school, they grow slack. We settle into a comfortable routine, remembering the days of our passionate devotion, sort of like the way we remember the passions of our childhood or youth. Little by little, we become devoted more to our comforts than to anything else, to an easy chair, a porch by the beach, a television to give us adventure or understanding. We come to the conclusion that, well, there's no contradiction between being comfortable and being Christian. And before long, it's hard to pick us out from the population at large. We're just one of the guys, one of the girls. No longer distinguished by our bold love for one another. No one gets in trouble for championing the cause of the poor and the voiceless. There are no traffic light pictures of us being caught in the act of reckless generosity. We avoid extremes, wanting to be nice rather than holy. And God moans out loud at this lukewarm, boring Christian faith. Hearing that moan and sensing that staleness within, someone long ago, someone suggested it's time to call us back to our senses. And the Bible offers some clues on how to come back to our senses. After all, when the children of Israel left Egypt to go to the promised land, it took 40 years. 40 years to get ready to enter the promised land, to be prepared. But some of us don't have 40 years left. But what about 40 days? Do you have 40 days? After all, that's what Noah did in the ark in that story, the 40 rainy days and nights. You may recall what one wag once said: if it hadn't have been for the storm outside, you couldn't have stood the stench inside. The great prophet Elijah spent 40 days in that same Exodus wilderness to hear that still small voice on that same mountain where Moses had spent 40 days to receive the law. 40 days is a good biblical number. And of course, there's this story in the Gospels of Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness when he's tempted by the devil. And so if we don't have 40 years, and if we don't have a wilderness to live in, because we can't give up all our responsibilities, we do have 40 days. And those 40 days are called Lent. We Christians came up with the season of Lent in response to losing our edge, losing our focus, losing our passion. The word Lent in Old English came to mean, or what meant, spring. Lenten. Spring. Not only a reference to that time that comes before Easter, but also to be the spring of the soul. The growing time. 40 days to cleanse the system and to open our eyes to what remains. 40 days to live by the grace of God alone and not what we can supply ourselves. A self-imposed wilderness. Self-imposed wilderness to discover again our connection to God. In some ways, Lent is sort of like the church version of Outward Bound. Outward Bound is that wilderness program of self-discovery and awareness. No one has to do Outward Bound. You have to step up to it. You have to sign up and make the commitment. And you commit your life to the control of some strangers. And they ask you in the wilderness to do foolhardy things like go backwards over a cliff with only a rope tied around your waist. But the real test in Outward Bound is the part you do solo. Part of the Outward Bound experience is to spend 24 hours alone in the wilderness. These strangers take you and put you out in the middle of nowhere, and they wish you luck, and they leave you there. No cell phone, no radio, no map, no way to get out. And for 24 hours, you find out who you are. You find out what you miss when you don't have anything with you. You find out what you're afraid of. From the reports of participants, we know that some people dream about their favorite food. Some folks long for a safe room that has a door that locks. Others just wish they had a pillow. They find out what their pacifiers are. The habits, the substances, the surroundings they use to comfort themselves. We all have pacifiers. This solo experience forces them to encounter the world without anesthesia, to find out what life is like when there is no comfort except you and God. I think it's fair to say that 99% of us, if not all of us, get addicted to something. Eating, shopping, blaming, working, taking care of others, controlling, complaining, or playing. The simplest definition of addiction is anything we use to fill the empty place in us that belongs to God. An addiction is that urgency that we have when we live without it, at whatever that it is. And when we don't have it, there's an emptiness, there's a vacuum, there's a hollowness. Now that hollowness that we sometimes feel is not a sign of something wrong. It's actually the Holy of Holies. You know, that place in the temple where only the high priest can go, behind the curtain, and only once a year. That place where if anywhere the infinite God can be experienced, it is there. This hollowness. Empty place. The place where God can be most a part of our lives. But most of us, when we start feeling empty or restless or bored or anxious about nothing at all, we stick that pacifier into our mouth and we suck with all it's worth. It fills the hole, but it does not fill the hollowness. To enter the wilderness is to leave pacifiers behind. And nothing is too small to give up. That's the Lenten practice of giving up something. We give up one of our pacifiers. For 40 days, we give up something that's important to us, but not vital. Now, that's an important distinction. Important, but not vital. Several years ago, one of my children gave up homework for Lent. It doesn't fit the definition. Important, but not vital. What do we give up for Lent? People give up chocolate, reading the comics, eating dessert, playing computer games, drinking alcohol, watching television or just a program. Some folks even give up Facebook. Going to the internet all the time to check up on what's happening. Not bad habits. Just a habit. And for 40 days to pay attention to how often the mind and the heart travel in that direction. Now, what's going to happen is that you will miss what you have given up, yes, but instead of fixing the craving, why not live with it? What do you sense about yourself and about your journey with God in that craving? That's the wilderness identity question of Lent. The drive of the habit drives us toward God. Now, chances are if you choose a Lenten discipline of giving up something, you'll hear that little voice saying to you, you'll starve without the pacifier. The voice will continue, it will make you more anxious than you need to be. It doesn't hurt anyone or anyone else. You deserve a break. It'll be okay. Like another voice that spoke to one in the wilderness, you're hungry. Turn that stone into bread. There's nothing wrong with it. And there isn't. It's just a question of whether you'll stay in the wilderness to discover who you are. And yes, that little voice will continue. What you've given up is not a pacifier. It's a power tool for you. It's what picks you up. It's what relaxes you. I mean, it's what calms you down after working hard. It works for you. It will help you. Like a voice that spoke to one in the wilderness. You're a powerful person who can do wonders. Do it. It works for you. It will pick you up. There's nothing wrong with it. It's only a question of whether you'll stay in the wilderness and discover who you are. And if you don't fall to those two voices, there's a level three in this. If God really loves you, why waste your time on this silly exercise of giving something up? I mean, do what's practical, what's useful, what's successful, what works. Don't fight it. How can you argue with a winner? Like the voice that spoke to Jesus in the wilderness, you want to be the Messiah, you want to change people's lives, then I have the method that will succeed. You will win, says the voice. Only we become what we serve. We become what we give up our lives to. The methods we choose for living life give us our identity. And staying in the wilderness, even 40 days, can do so as well. And do us well. Because we've become comfortable with our lives, or at least with the discomforts. The wilderness forces us to change, and change is always threatening. Better the enemy we know than the unknown, but change is disturbing. But sometimes, like a brush with death is disturbing, it wakes us up from our unconscious living. Choosing the wilderness way may seem like settling for less. To live life less fully than we could. The Lenten discipline of giving something up seems harmless, a nice habit, but it's a waste of time, it's a loss. But for Noah in the ark, for Moses and Elijah, and for Jesus, and indeed for a host of those who have followed them, these 40 days of Lent, this self-imposed wilderness, it's a matter of settling for more, not less. It's a matter of confirming that resolve to worship the Lord our God and to serve no one else, to say to that voice that offers the easy way, get lost. To expect great things from God. To expect great things of ourselves. That's to settle for more rather than less. Let us pray. Our prayer, O God, is to walk even where Jesus has walked. And yes, that will include the wilderness. May we, O God, as He was, prodded by Your Spirit, walk the path that is ahead of us in this Lenten journey, this wilderness way. We pray, O God, that You will fill the hollowness of our lives with Your Spirit. And indeed, at such time when these days are past, we will be filled with the Easter joy. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Another portion of our Lenten discipline is that each week when we stand to affirm our faith, we will use this with the Apostles' Creed, but the ecumenical version of it. And so I invite you to stand and affirm your faith with the words of this translation of the Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, and he ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Note the life of the church in the turnip patch times and the opportunities for service, participation. We will begin our first week of our Lenten worship here in downtown on Wednesdays at noon. You'll see the visit First Baptist Church this coming Wednesday at noon. We'll also be beginning a new series in our Worshipful Wednesdays, and I invite you to be a part of that. That starts again this coming Wednesday night. Again, I will ask you to read and take note of the rest of the announcements and act upon those that fit your capabilities and interest. Let us now continue in worship with our prayers of the people.
As you begin to compose your own particular prayers, I'd like to take a moment to introduce to you three new members of this congregation. I want you to stand. We had a conversation about this earlier, but it can be quick. I would like Sharon Tarn and Carolyn Noe. Come on, where are you? Where'd you go? Up in the balcony, I see. And Sue Kintz. They met with the session this morning after having completed a new membership class and have now become active members of this congregation. Thank you very much. Blessings upon you. Let's remember in our prayers Cynthia Tubb, who is recovering at home from knee replacement surgery. And there are other members of our congregation who are awaiting the news of testing of various kinds. Gary Denny, Vanessa Smith, Linda Manson, remember them in your prayers. There's a new baby also in our congregation. Rob and Jennifer Jones over the weekend had, I think I've got this right now, John Noah Jones. So let's remember John Noah in our prayers as well. Let's pray together. O God, you are our God, as well as the Father of our Savior Jesus, who with his parents went down into Egypt and was saved from the hand of Herod, who cried out to you in the garden of Gethsemane and was heard, for you saw his torment, his struggle, his sorrow, and brought him into the kingdom of bread and wine. And we are grateful, Lord, for as we retell the story of your righteousness, we participate in that saving history and make it our hope. And our need for that hope is no less than in the past. Temptation creeps into the midst of our salvation. Our parents, having been led into the wilderness by your hand, wandered for 40 years and were sorely tempted. Indeed, while you communed with Moses on Mount Sinai, they created a golden calf and proclaimed it God. And our Lord, having been led into the wilderness by your Spirit, was tempted for 40 days, and when every temptation was ended, his adversary departed only until a more opportune time. The voice of the tempter taunts us even as it taunted Jesus. If you are children of God, turn stones to bread and your hunger shall be satisfied. If you are children of God, seize the glory of power and the world shall be yours. If you are children of God, throw yourselves off the roof of the temple and you shall not be hurt. This voice seduces us, O God. And so we live and so we die, trying to turn stones into bread, turning what we want into what we need, and believing, if we get it, that you've made it possible. We live and we die climbing the mountain, looking for more power than we have, and believing that if we find it, that you made it happen. And we live and we die leaping off the rooftops of our religion, testing the angels of your will, and believing if we are rescued that you have made it so. O Lord, how little we comprehend the profanity of trying to tempt you. O Lord, we admit this season that we deceive ourselves. Forgive us, for we sin. Forgive us, Lord, for we would overcome temptation. Forgive us, for you alone would we serve, you in whom alone we find true freedom. And, O God, during this season of Lent, there are families we know facing issues much more profound, much more difficult, and in some ways much more joyous than what we might give up as a Lenten practice. Be with Rob and Jennifer as they learn to share their lives with John Noah and as they care for him and each other. Be with Gary and Vanessa and Linda as they wait and wonder and ponder treatment for various ailments. Be with Cynthia as she recovers at home. Be with Megan Seagraves as she recovers as well. Oh God, be with our new members. And may we welcome them into our midst in a way that helps them to grow in faith and which also challenges us to do the same. Oh God, hear us now as we pray together in faith the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please pass the friendship books down along your pew and sign in your attendance, and please note any changes of information. And now on this first Sunday of Lent, let us present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Thank you. O God, may the tithes and offerings we present this day enable this congregation through its ministry to offer the bread of life to all who faint from hunger, and to proclaim the Prince of Peace to all who long for justice, and for all who search for truth to discover the Lord of Lords. We ask this in His name. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with us at First Presbyterian Church this morning. Knowing that the community of faith extends well beyond the doors of our sanctuary, we welcome any and all listeners to participate in worship with us each week via our webcast. May God bless you in the coming week, and we hope you will join us again next Sunday, either on the internet or in person. We also invite you to participate in any of the other many activities of the church. You can find a complete calendar of upcoming events, weekly bulletins, and much more on our website, www.fpcknox.org. Audio archives of past services and sermons, and the text for the sermons can also be found there. Once again, thank you for joining us at First Presbyterian Church, and we hope you will join us again next Sunday.